Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Blackmail Affair, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Forbidden Night. Power is an intoxicating drug, more potent than whiskey, more addictive than the sharpest high. I built my career on control, on bending the law, twisting words, and outmaneuvering every opponent who dared step into my path. There was no room for weakness in my world, no space for vulnerability. I was Veronica Hayes, the firm's top attorney, a woman whose mere presence could make junior associates tremble and corporate titans second-guess their decisions. But that night, in the dim glow of my office, I made a mistake. The victory had been mine. Another trial won, another opponent crushed beneath the weight of my relentless cross-examination. Monica LaRue, my biggest rival, had walked out of the courtroom with her tail between her legs, while I basked in the glory of another career-defining moment. The firm's partners were celebrating, toasting my name, but I had no interest in their sycophantic praise. I wanted to be alone, to drink in the solitude of my own triumph. And yet, I wasn't alone. Nathan Cole, the intern, the boy with sharp eyes and an even sharper tongue, who had watched me with an intensity that bordered on defiance. I had dismissed him at first, chalking his confidence up to youthful arrogance, but something about him made my skin prickle, made me wonder if there was more lurking beneath the surface. I had been toying with him for weeks. Little comments, lingering looks, the occasional brush of my hand against his when I handed him a file. Just enough to see how far I could push him before he broke. I should have known it would be me who broke first. He was waiting outside my office when I returned from the firm's private lounge, his lean form propped casually against the doorframe. His sleeves were rolled up to his elbows, his tie loosened just enough to make him look effortlessly undone. "Congratulations, Miss Hayes." His voice was smooth, measured, too controlled. I paused, one hand on the door handle. "Still here, Cole? I thought I'd wait," he said, a flicker of something unreadable crossing his face. "See if you needed anything." A smirk tugged at my lips. "Careful, boy. You're playing a game you don't understand." "I need a drink," I murmured, pushing open the door. "Unless you have something better to offer." I left the invitation hanging in the air, stepping inside without waiting to see if he followed. But he did. The door clicked shut behind him, and suddenly the energy in the room shifted, charged with something electric, something dangerous. I set my whiskey glass down on my desk and turned to face him. "You've been watching me," I said, my voice steady, controlled. Nathan tilted his head, considering me with a slow, lazy smirk. "And you've been watching me right back." A muscle in my jaw twitched. I wasn't used to being challenged, wasn't used to someone seeing through the carefully crafted walls I had built around myself. But Nathan wasn't just another disposable intern. There was something in his gaze, something dark and knowing, that sent a thrill down my spine. I took a step closer. "You have a sharp tongue, Cole. I wonder if it's as talented as you think it is." His smirk widened. "Only one way to find out." And then, in a moment that defied all logic, I let go. The air between us ignited in an instant. One second we were standing apart, our words sharp and teasing, and the next my back was against the desk, his body pressing into mine, his mouth claiming me with a hunger that sent fire racing through my veins. I wasn't supposed to let this happen. I was supposed to be in control. But there was no control in the way his hands roamed my body, no control in the way I gasped as he shoved my blazer off my shoulders, his fingers slipping beneath the silk of my blouse. "Say it," he murmured against my throat, his teeth grazing my skin. "Say you've been waiting for this." I wanted to lie. I wanted to pretend that this was nothing, that he was nothing more than a momentary indulgence, a reckless impulse. But my body betrayed me, my hips arching into his, my breath hitching in anticipation. "Yes," I whispered, my nails digging into his back. "I've been waiting." That was all the confirmation he needed. The next moments were a blur of heat and friction, of desperate kisses and frantic hands. My skirt was bunched around my waist, my stockings ripped, my blouse discarded on the floor. Nathan was relentless, demanding. He took what he wanted, and I let him. No, I begged for it. I clawed at his shoulders as he pushed me onto my desk, my legs wrapping around his waist. My office, the place where I commanded authority, where I ruled with an iron will, became the setting for my undoing. It was raw, brutal, the kind of sex that left no room for tenderness, only a battle for dominance that neither of us was willing to lose. I bit his lip. He yanked my hair. I raked my nails down his chest, and he pinned my wrists above my head, his breath hot against my skin. "Look at you," he whispered, his voice laced with something dangerously close to amusement. "Miss Hayes reduced to this." I should have fought back. I should have reminded him that I was the one in charge, that I was the one who dictated the rules. Instead, I arched into him, moaning his name, surrendering to the exquisite thrill of being utterly undone. And then, in the haze of pleasure, in the dizzying rush of my own downfall, I made my second mistake. I let my guard slip completely. Between gasps and moans, between the sharp sting of his teeth against my shoulder and the delicious agony of his control, I spoke without thinking. I whispered secrets. Confessions. Things I should never have said. And I had no idea that the entire time, hidden in the shadows, Nathan's phone was recording everything. Chapter 2, The Trap is Set. I woke up with a pounding headache, the scent of whiskey and sex still clinging to my skin. My body ached in the most deliciously depraved ways, a reminder of the night before. The heat, the hands that had gripped me like possession, the sharp edge of pleasure that had unraveled me in ways I had never let anyone before. I should have felt powerful. Satiated. But the moment I opened my eyes, I knew something was wrong. My office was eerily silent, the city skyline visible through the floor-to-ceiling windows, bathed in the cold light of dawn. My clothes were scattered across the floor, my blouse discarded, my skirt crumpled against the mahogany desk. The faintest bruises traced my wrists, a memory of where Nathan had held me down, forcing me to surrender. And then I saw him. Nathan sat across from me in my leather chair, his expression unreadable. He was fully dressed, composed, as if the night before had been nothing more than a minor distraction. His phone was in his hand, his fingers lazily tapping the screen. A slow, knowing smirk spread across his lips when he noticed I was awake. "Rough night, Miss Hayes?" His voice was thick with amusement, but beneath it there was something else. Something darker. I straightened, my mind struggling to catch up. I had spent years perfecting my ability to assess a situation within seconds, to know exactly where I stood, what the angles were, what the threat level was. And yet, as I met Nathan's eyes, I felt something I hadn't in a very long time. Uncertainty. "Get out," I said, my voice hoarse from whiskey and moans. He ignored me. Instead, he leaned back in my chair, exuding the kind of arrogance that would have had me cutting a man to pieces in the courtroom. But here, in this moment, something about the way he looked at me, like he had already won, made my stomach tighten. He lifted his phone, turned the screen toward me, and pressed play. And then I heard it. My own voice. Low, breathless, uninhibited. Confessions spilling from my lips in the haze of pleasure. My words slurred with intoxication and lust. My deepest professional sins laid bare in a moment of reckless weakness. My blood ran cold. Nathan watched me, expression unreadable as he let the recording play, every damning word sinking into the silence of my office like poison. I forced myself to remain still, to keep my face composed, even as dread curled around my spine like a vice. "Where did you get that?" My voice came out steady, controlled. Nathan chuckled, shaking his head as if I had just asked the dumbest question in the world. "Really, Veronica?" He said, tapping the screen. "I expected more from you. I thought you were supposed to be the smartest woman in this firm." I clenched my jaw, my nails digging into my palms. I had been played. Me. The woman who had spent her career orchestrating the destruction of weaker men. The woman who had manipulated, seduced, and outmaneuvered some of the most powerful players in the legal world. And yet here I was, caught in a trap of my own making. Nathan leaned forward, resting his elbows on his knees. "You should have seen yourself last night," he murmured, his voice laced with something dangerously close to mockery. "All that power, all that control gone. You begged, Veronica. You cried for it." A slow heat crawled up my neck, not just from shame, but from the unbearable fact that he was right. I had surrendered. And worse, I had loved it. "What do you want?" I asked, my voice carefully neutral. Nathan's smirk widened, the predatory gleam in his eyes making my stomach churn. "That's the right question," he murmured. He stood, circling my desk with the lazy confidence of a man who already owned everything he wanted. His fingers trailed over my whiskey glass, the remnants of my recklessness still visible in the amber liquid. I could ruin you, he mused, his tone almost casual. One click, and this recording goes straight to the partners. To the press. To the state bar. He paused, tilting his head. To your enemies. Monica LaRue. The thought of my rival getting her hands on this, of her watching me crumble in front of the entire legal world, was unbearable. Nathan sat on the edge of my desk, his gaze locked onto mine. But I'm feeling generous, he continued, his voice taking on a mockingly thoughtful tone. I'm giving you a choice. I said nothing, waiting. His smile sharpened. You do exactly what I say when I say it. He leaned in, his breath ghosting over my skin. And I keep your little secret safe. A beat of silence stretched between us, heavy, suffocating. Then, with deliberate slowness, he reached out and trailed his fingers down my throat, a ghost of last night's grip. You don't seem like the begging type, he murmured. But last night proved otherwise. My body betrayed me, heat pooling in my core at his words. I hated him for it. Nathan chuckled, as if he could read my thoughts. Go on, Veronica, he whispered. Be the good girl I know you can be. I wanted to rip his throat out. Instead, I lifted my chin. And if I refuse? His smile didn't waver. He simply lifted his phone again, thumb hovering over the screen. The message was clear. My career. My reputation. My freedom. All in his hands. Nathan's eyes darkened with amusement. Strip. My breath caught. Excuse me. He leaned closer, his voice dropping to a whisper. Take. Off. Your. Clothes. The humiliation that surged through me was like acid, burning, eating away at the last shreds of my pride. I had two choices. Defiance, burn the world down with me. Or submission, play the long game. Find a way to win. With every ounce of restraint, I let my shoulders drop, my fingers moving to the buttons of my blouse. My pulse thundered in my ears as I slid it off my shoulders, letting the silk pool onto the floor. Nathan's breath hitched, so quiet I almost didn't catch it. But I did. And that was the moment I knew. This wasn't just about power. This was about desire. He wanted to break me. But he also wanted to worship what he broke. I let my skirt drop next, standing before him in nothing but lace and fury. Nathan exhaled slowly, his fingers grazing my hip, just enough to make my skin shiver. Then he smiled. Kneel. I didn't hesitate this time. I dropped to my knees. And as I looked up at him, my lips curling into something that wasn't quite a smirk, I made a silent vow. Enjoy this while you can, Cole. Because one day I was going to destroy him. Chapter 3, The Power Shift. Submission had never been in my nature. From the moment I stepped into the courtroom for the first time, I had understood one thing. Control was everything. It was the invisible currency that separated the powerful from the weak, the winners from the ones left gasping for air in the wreckage of their own failures. And I had never lost control. Until Nathan Cole. He had turned the tables on me with precision, stripping me of the very power I had wielded for years, leaving me at his mercy and, worst of all, making me crave it. It started with small humiliations. Orders sent through text messages at the most inconvenient times. A demand disguised as a question, testing how far I was willing to go. And every time I told myself this is the last time, he reminded me of the leverage he had, of the recording that could send my entire career into a nosedive from which there was no recovery. I had no choice. At least, that's what I told myself. The first order. It came early, just after sunrise, when I was still in my penthouse, standing in front of my mirror, adjusting the collar of my blouse before heading to the firm. A text message. Nathan, don't wear any panties today. My stomach clenched at the audacity of it. I stared at the words, fingers hovering over my phone, pulse hammering beneath my skin. I should have ignored it. I wanted to ignore it, but I had learned my lesson already. Defiance came with consequences. Slowly, with deliberate movements, I reached beneath my skirt, hooking my thumbs into the thin lace of my underwear and sliding them down my thighs. The silk pooled around my ankles before I stepped out of them, tossing them onto my bed with a sense of defeat, so sharp it felt like a physical wound. Another message. Nathan, good girl. Now go to work and pretend like nothing's changed. I clenched my jaw so tightly it ached, but I did as I was told. And when I walked into the firm, head held high, heels clicking against the marble floors, I knew he was watching me. The second order. It came during my court session. I was in the middle of an argument, standing before a judge, tearing apart the opposition's case with my usual calculated ferocity. The room was tense, the stakes high, and I was about to deliver the final blow when my phone vibrated against my wrist. an alert from my smartwatch. A single message flashed across the screen. "Nathan, touch yourself." The breath caught in my throat. For a split second, my composure cracked. Not visibly, no one in that courtroom could see the war raging beneath my skin, but I felt it. The way my legs clenched involuntarily, the way heat curled in my belly, not just from the embarrassment of his demand, but from the raw, inescapable fact that it turned me on. I forced myself to continue speaking, to deliver my argument as if my body wasn't betraying me, as if I wasn't acutely aware of the empty ache between my thighs. When I sat down, hands folding over my lap, I tapped out a response beneath the desk. "Me fuck you." The reply came instantly. "Nathan, not yet. But soon." I should have hated him for it. And maybe on some level I did. But there was something intoxicating about knowing I wasn't in control anymore. The third order. It happened in my office, after a long day of keeping my mask firmly in place. I was exhausted, my nerves frayed from balancing my duties at the firm with the humiliating tasks Nathan kept throwing my way. Then he walked in. Uninvited. Unannounced. Closing the door behind him like he owned the place. I didn't move from my chair, didn't give him the satisfaction of reacting. Instead, I leaned back, crossing my legs, meeting his gaze with the cool detachment I had perfected over the years. "You're getting reckless," I said. "Walking in here like you own the place. What do you think would happen if someone saw you?" Nathan smirked, stepping closer, his eyes dragging over me like he was sizing up prey. "I think they'd assume what I already know." "And what's that?" "That you belong to me now." I swallowed the sharp retort that burned on my tongue. "Not yet." Let him believe he had won. Let him keep thinking that he was the one in control. Because in reality, this wasn't about submission. This was about patience. This was about finding the perfect moment to turn the tables back in my favor. Nathan leaned down, his hands resting on the arms of my chair, trapping me beneath him. His breath was warm against my skin, his voice a low, taunting whisper. "I have another task for you," he said. I arched a brow, feigning boredom. "How original." His lips brushed the shell of my ear, sending an unwilling shiver down my spine. "Tonight," he murmured, "you'll send me a video." My pulse stuttered. "A video of what, exactly?" I asked, though I already knew the answer. Nathan's fingers traced the neckline of my blouse, skimming the exposed skin. "You know what?" Heat flushed through me, equal parts rage and reluctant anticipation. I held his gaze, forcing a smirk of my own. "And if I don't?" Nathan straightened, slipping his phone from his pocket. I didn't need to see the screen to know what was on it. My confessions. My downfall. He didn't need to say anything. The message was already clear. Play the game. Or lose everything. I exhaled slowly, hating the way my body responded to the way he looked at me. "Fine," I said, voice steady. "But enjoy it while it lasts, Cole." Nathan grinned. "Oh, I plan to." As he left my office, I allowed myself a single moment to close my eyes, to let the weight of it all settle over me. Then I straightened my spine, checked my reflection, and began planning my revenge. Chapter 4, Playing with Fire. Power was a fickle thing. One moment, you held it in your hands like a weapon, a tool to bend the world to your will. The next, it was stripped from you, leaving you bare, vulnerable, at the mercy of someone else's control. I had spent my entire life ensuring that would never happen to me. But Nathan Cole had flipped the game on its head. For weeks, I had danced on the edge of humiliation and desire, obeying his twisted commands under the constant, looming threat of exposure. I had played his game, biting my tongue as he pulled the strings, making me crawl, making me beg, making me his. At least, that's what he thought. But he had underestimated one crucial thing. I was not a woman who lost. Not in the courtroom. Not in business. Not in life. And certainly not to a 24-year-old intern who thought he could outmaneuver me. He thought he was in control. He thought he had won. But he had no idea that I was already setting his downfall in motion. The first spark. It started with research. Nathan was meticulous, careful. He left no obvious weaknesses exposed, no paper trails leading back to him. He covered his tracks with a precision that impressed me, but I had built my career on destroying people who thought they were untouchable. And I always found a way in. Nathan's father, Alexander Cole, was a billionaire investor. He had his hands in nearly every major law firm on the East Coast, mine included. His influence ran deep, his money even deeper. That was where I needed to strike. I didn't have to dig far to find the cracks in the foundation. Alexander was powerful, but he was also a man, one with desires, weaknesses, and a history of indiscretions swept under the rug by teams of well-paid public relations experts. All I had to do was give him something he couldn't resist. And men like Alexander? They never resisted me. The seduction. I orchestrated the first meeting carefully. A charity gala. Black tie. The kind of event where millionaires and politicians exchanged favors over glasses of vintage wine and false smiles. Alexander Cole arrived precisely on time, stepping onto the red carpet like he owned the world. He was older, distinguished, his salt-and-pepper hair immaculately styled, his tuxedo tailored to perfection. He was also watching me. Good. I made sure to look the part. The silk of my dress hugging my curves just right, my heels high enough to accentuate the sway of my hips as I walked. I moved through the crowd with practiced elegance, never rushing, never lingering too long in one place. Let him want to chase me. Let him think it was his idea. When I finally let our paths cross, it was with the perfect balance of intrigue and aloofness. Alexander, I greeted, my voice smooth as I lifted a champagne flute to my lips. Miss Hayes, he returned, his gaze lingering just a second too long. I tilted my head, offering the faintest hint of a smirk. I wasn't expecting to see you here. He chuckled, taking a slow sip of his own drink. That makes two of us. The game had begun. Over the course of the evening, I played my part flawlessly. I was charming, intelligent, just distant enough to make him want to pull me closer. I let him think he was the one pursuing me, let him believe he had the upper hand. And by the end of the night, when he leaned in and murmured, "Dinner. Tomorrow," I let my lips curve into a knowing smile before whispering, "I'd love that." Hook. Line. Sinker. Nathan's control tightens. While I wove my web around his father, Nathan continued to push me to my limits. The orders became bolder. Crueler. One afternoon, as I sat in my office, preparing for a high-stakes trial, my phone buzzed. Nathan, I want you in the courthouse chambers in 10 minutes. I exhaled slowly, my fingers tightening around the phone. I had learned not to argue. Not yet. I rose, smoothing out my skirt, making my way down the hall with careful, measured steps. When I entered the empty chamber, he was already there. Waiting. The moment I shut the door, he smirked. "Good girl," he murmured. I said nothing, standing rigid as he approached, his fingers trailing lazily down my arm before slipping beneath the hem of my skirt. I clenched my teeth as heat spread through me, rage, arousal, shame. "You know what to do," he whispered. And I did. I obeyed. And the entire time, as my breath hitched and my pulse thundered, I reminded myself, this was temporary. This was his moment. But mine was coming. The shift begins. Nathan was getting reckless. Arrogant. He thought I was broken, that I was his plaything, that he had complete and total control over me. But he was too caught up in his own power trip to realize the subtle shifts happening around him. To realize that I was allowing this. To realize that I was biding my time. While he was making me kneel in the shadows, I was tightening the noose around his neck. While he was ordering me to crawl, I was orchestrating his destruction. The first real crack appeared when I mentioned Alexander. We were in my office. Nathan had his hands on me, his fingers curled around my throat, his breath hot against my skin. "Tell me how much you love being mine," he murmured. I let my lips part, my voice coming out breathless. "I love being yours." The words were a lie. But the way he shuddered against me? That was real. He was falling for it. And then, as I ran my fingers down his chest, I tilted my head, let my lips graze his ear, and whispered, "Your father is quite charming, you know." Nathan froze. His grip tightened, just a second too long, just enough to make me feel the shift in his mood. Then slowly he pulled back, his jaw clenched. "What did you just say?" I smiled. "Sweet. Innocent. I had dinner with him last night." A pause. And I must say, he knows how to take control of a situation. Nathan's expression darkened, his fingers curling into fists at his sides. Jealousy. Possessiveness. Fear. I had found the crack. Now all I had to do was widen it until the whole damn structure came crumbling down. Nathan thought he was the one playing with fire. But he had no idea that I was the one holding the match. And soon, I was going to burn him to the fucking ground. Chapter 5, A Dangerous Liaison. Power games were nothing new to me. I had spent my entire career mastering them. Maneuvering, manipulating, ensuring that no one could ever touch me, let alone control me. And yet here I was caught between two men tangled in a web of deception, sex, and betrayal. Nathan Cole thought he had me under his thumb, his pretty little puppet dancing to the rhythm of his demands. He forced me to obey him, pushed me to my limits, made me strip away every last ounce of dignity I had left. But what he didn't know, what he couldn't see through the haze of his own arrogance, was that I was still playing the game. and I was about to win. The night that changed everything. The rooftop restaurant was dimly lit, the skyline of the city stretching in a glittering expanse beyond the glass railings. Soft jazz played in the background, the quiet murmur of voices creating an illusion of intimacy. Alexander Cole sat across from me, his fingers curled around a crystal glass of aged whiskey, his sharp blue eyes watching me over the rim. I had dressed for the occasion, silk, black, elegant. Just enough skin to be enticing, just enough mystery to keep him intrigued. "You're fascinating," Alexander mused, swirling the amber liquid in his glass. I tilted my head, offering a small, knowing smile. "And why is that?" He leaned forward, his gaze flickering over me, assessing. "Because I don't trust people. And yet, I find myself wanting to trust you." I arched a brow, feigning innocence. "And what exactly do you think I could do with that trust?" Alexander's lips curved into a smirk. "I suppose that's what I'd like to find out. Hooked." Men like Alexander were predictable. They craved control in business, in life. But beneath the surface, they ached to be challenged, to find someone who could match their ruthlessness. And I could be exactly what he wanted, what he needed. Our conversation stretched late into the night, slow sips of wine turning into playful banter, flirtation laced with unspoken promises. By the time he drove me back to my penthouse, his hand resting on my thigh in the back seat of his chauffeured car, I knew I had him exactly where I wanted him. And Nathan? Nathan had no idea what was coming. Nathan's desperation grows. The next morning, I arrived at the firm in my usual composed manner, my heels clicking sharply against the marble floors. I was focused, collected, already mapping out my next steps. But the moment I stepped into my office, I felt the shift in the air. Nathan was waiting for me, leaning against my desk, arms crossed, his expression unreadable. I closed the door behind me, meeting his gaze with practiced detachment. "To what do I owe this unexpected visit?" I asked smoothly, moving to set down my briefcase. Nathan didn't respond. He simply reached into his pocket, pulled out his phone, and held it up. The screen lit up. A photograph. Of me. With his father. Sitting at dinner. Laughing. His jaw was tight, his grip on the phone tense. "You want to tell me what the fuck this is?" I blinked, feigning confusion. "Dinner." Nathan's nostrils flared. "Try again." I sighed, rolling my shoulders as I unbuttoned my blazer, discarding it onto the chair beside me. "You're going to have to be a little more specific, Nathan. I have dinner with a lot of important men." He stepped forward, his body a taut line of anger. "You think this is a fucking game?" I smirked. "Aren't we always playing a game?" His hands curled into fists at his sides. It was almost too easy. I let the silence stretch, let the tension thicken between us until it was suffocating. Then, with deliberate slowness, I stepped closer, the scent of his cologne sharp, intoxicating. "You don't own me," I murmured. "You never did." Nathan's breath hitched just barely, his pupils dilating. "Keep playing with fire, Veronica," he warned, his voice dangerously low. I tilted my head, my lips mere inches from his. "Oh, darling," I whispered. "I am the fire." Escalation. The following days were a blur of mind games and high-stakes manipulation. Nathan pushed harder. The messages became relentless. The demands more degrading. Late at night, after I had spent the evening wrapped around Alexander's body, playing the role of the perfect seductress, Nathan would summon me. "Come to me. Now." And I would go. Not because I was weak, but because every second I spent under Nathan's control was another piece of the puzzle falling into place. He made me strip in his office. Made me kneel before him. Made me submit. And I let him. Because I knew the end was near. Because I knew that soon the tables would turn. And when they did, Nathan wouldn't just lose. He would be destroyed. The tipping point. It happened on a stormy Friday night. The rain pounded against the windows of Nathan's penthouse as I stood in the center of his living room, my body slick with sweat, my breath coming in ragged gasps. Nathan sat on the couch, watching me through hooded eyes, a glass of whiskey dangling from his fingers. "You're beautiful when you break," he murmured, sipping his drink. I met his gaze, swallowing hard. "I'm not broken." His smirk was lazy. "Confident. Aren't you?" I stepped closer, the silk of my robe slipping down my shoulders. "No," I whispered. Then, before he could react, I plucked the phone from his hand and tossed it across the room. It shattered against the wall. Nathan's smirk disappeared. I knelt in front of him, pressing my palms against his knees, staring up at him with slow, burning satisfaction. "You thought you were in control," I murmured. His jaw clenched. "I am in control." I shook my head slowly. "No, Nathan. I ran my hands up his thighs, watching his breath hitch, watching the tension coil in his muscles. Then, in a whisper so soft it was almost lost beneath the storm, "I've already won." Nathan's entire body went rigid, and in that moment I saw it. The realization. The fear. He had underestimated me. And now, it was too late. The game was over. He just didn't know it yet. Chapter 6, The Exposure. Beneath the glitz and glamour of power, beneath the finely tailored suits, the perfectly calculated smiles, and the whispered deals made over whiskey and greed, there was always truth. And truth was a weapon. It could be concealed, polished, tucked neatly away in the depths of deception, but it could never be destroyed. It waited, simmering beneath the surface, a dormant volcano just waiting for the right moment to erupt. And now, was the moment. The moment Nathan Cole would learn what it meant to be outplayed. The moment he would learn that power was never truly his to hold. Because the real game had never been about control. It had been about who would survive the fire when it all came crashing down. And I was about to light the match. The beginning of the end. Nathan had grown reckless. Drunk on the illusion of power, intoxicated by the belief that he had broken me, that he had me right where he wanted me. Obedient, submissive, a marionette dancing to his every whim. He was so sure of his victory that he never even noticed the cracks forming beneath his feet. But I did. I had spent weeks setting the stage, whispering sweet, deceitful lies into his ear while pressing my lips against his, while letting my fingers trace over his skin, making him believe he was the one holding the leash. And all the while I was pulling strings of my own. The rumors started small. A carefully crafted scandal, a whisper among the firm's secretaries, a passing remark in the halls about Nathan Cole's unprofessional behavior. Monica LaRue, my longtime rival, had been waiting for a reason to take him down, and I had given her the perfect ammunition. All it took was one fabricated message. One well-timed email, leaked anonymously, detailing an explicit exchange between Nathan and Monica. A message he had never actually sent, but that looked very real. Monica, being the opportunistic vulture she was, took the bait immediately. By the time I arrived at the firm the next morning, the whispers had turned into full-fledged conversations. Nathan Cole was about to be labeled a predator. And he had no idea. The breaking point. When he stormed into my office, slamming the door so hard the windows rattled, I barely flinched. His face was a thunderstorm, jaw clenched, eyes burning with rage, fists curling so tight I thought he might break his own bones. "What the fuck did you do?" His voice was low, dangerous. I leaned back in my chair, crossing one leg over the other, feigning an expression of innocent confusion. "You're going to have to be more specific, Nathan." His nostrils flared. "You know what I'm talking about." I tilted my head, watching him unravel before me. "Do I?" He slammed his hands onto my desk, leaning in close, his breath hot and furious. "You think you're clever," he hissed. I smiled. "No, Nathan. I know I am." He stared at me for a long moment, his eyes scanning my face, searching for something, desperation, fear, regret. He found none of it. And that was when I saw it. The first flicker of panic. He knew. Knew that whatever was happening, whatever storm was brewing outside this office, he wasn't in control of it. And Nathan Cole? He didn't know how to not be in control. "You've been a very bad boy, Nathan," I purred, lacing my fingers together. "Harassing Monica LaRue? TSK, TSK. I always told you that arrogance would be your downfall." His fists clenched. "You set me up." I leaned forward, lowering my voice to a whisper. "And you made it so fucking easy." He exhaled sharply, stepping back, raking a hand through his hair, his mind racing for an escape, for a counter move. There wasn't one. Not this time. Because while he had been busy pulling my strings, I had been dismantling his entire life. The final blow. He tried to fight back. Of course he did. Nathan was many things, a manipulator, a deceiver, a man with a dangerous appetite for control, but he was not weak. And so, like a cornered animal, he struck. He went to the partners, tried to plead his case, tried to insist that the messages were fake, that someone was out to get him. But by then, the damage had already been done. The firm couldn't afford a scandal. And Nathan Cole? He had officially become a liability. His name started disappearing from high-profile cases. Clients who once fawned over him suddenly wanted nothing to do with him. His seat at the table, the one he had fought so desperately to claim, was slowly being pulled out from beneath him. And then I delivered the final blow, with a single, simple revelation. I told him the truth. Or rather, I let him find the truth. Nathan thought he had been playing me. But I had been playing him. For weeks, while he had been whispering orders into my ear, while he had been forcing me onto my knees, making me obey, making me his, I had been collecting everything. Every text. Every call. Every little secret he had so carelessly spilled in the moments he thought he had broken me. And now. Now I had all the leverage. I waited until he was at his lowest, when he was drowning in the fallout of the scandal, when the firm had all but turned its back on him. Then I summoned him. Not with a text. Not with an order. With an invitation. A single, simple message, sent directly to his inbox. Meet me in my office. When he arrived, he looked like a man barely holding it together. And when I played the recording, his own voice, his own confessions, his own fucking downfall, he went completely still. His breath hitched. His hands trembled. And I knew in that moment that it was over. How does it feel? I asked softly. Nathan lifted his gaze, his pupils blown wide, his lips parting slightly, whether in anger or arousal, I couldn't tell. He swallowed. I'll destroy you, he whispered. I smiled. No, Nathan. I leaned in, running a single finger along his jaw, tilting his face up so he had no choice but to meet my gaze. You already lost. His throat bobbed. And then, with a slow, deliberate exhale, he did the one thing I had been waiting for. He broke. Nathan Cole, the man who had forced me to kneel, who had tormented me, who had thought he could outplay me, dropped his gaze. Defeated. Ruined. Mine. And as I watched him unravel before me, the weight of my victory settling over my skin like silk, I let out a soft, satisfied sigh. You should have known better, I murmured. Nathan clenched his jaw, his eyes glinting with a dangerous mixture of fury and something else. Something darker. Something that told me this wasn't over. Not yet. But that was fine. Because I wasn't done playing either. Not by a fucking long shot. Chapter 7, The Ultimate Betrayal. Nathan Cole sat across from me, his body rigid, his fingers curled so tightly into his palms that I wondered if he was trying to stop himself from lunging at me. His eyes, once filled with arrogant amusement, once so fucking sure that he was the one in control, were now stormy, unreadable. He was unraveling, and I was going to watch him come apart. The final act had begun. This wasn't just about revenge anymore. This was about total and utter destruction. The moment of ruin. I pressed play. The audio recording, his own fucking voice, filled the silence of my office. Nathan Cole, admitting to blackmailing me. Nathan Cole, detailing his perverse, manipulative orders. Nathan Cole, confessing in his own breathless fucking voice, to every single act of control he had forced upon me. It was all there. Every whispered command. Every twisted game. Every single moment of his power-hungry delusion, recorded and documented in crystal-clear sound. The moment the recording ended, I reached over and tapped the screen, sending it to a cloud drive labeled Nathan Cole, checkmate. He flinched. A flicker of something crossed his face, maybe rage, maybe disbelief. Maybe fear. Good. I leaned forward, resting my elbows on the desk, my gaze sharp, predatory. Now let's talk about how this ends. He exhaled through his nose, slow and controlled, but I could see the tension in his shoulders, the restraint it took for him to sit still. You think this is over? He murmured, his voice dark, taunting. I tilted my head, feigning curiosity. Oh, Nathan. I exhaled slowly. It is over. His jaw twitched. He hated this. Hated that I had stolen his power, turned it against him, left him with nothing. You can't ruin me. His voice was quiet, but I could hear the edge of desperation creeping in. You need me. I laughed softly. I needed you to believe you were in control. And you did. You walked right into my trap. His eyes flashed. You think you've won? You think I can't fucking fix this? You can't fix this, Nathan, I said, letting my voice drop into a silky purr. Because I've already made sure there's nothing left to fix. I reached for my phone, tapped the screen, and turned it toward him. A list of law firms. Each one marked with a single word next to it. Blacklisted. One by one, I had gone to the partners, fed them carefully curated pieces of his downfall. One by one, they had cut him off. There was nowhere left for him to go. No firms. No clients. No future. Nathan Cole, the man who had made me crawl, who had forced me to submit to his twisted games, was done. I watched as the realization sank in, the weight of it pressing down on him, suffocating. For the first time since this game had begun, he was the one trapped. And I was the one holding the leash. The final submission. I stood slowly, circling my desk, stepping toward him with deliberate, measured movements. Get on your knees, I murmured. Nathan's head snapped up, his breath hitching. I smiled. You heard me. His lips parted slightly, as if he wanted to argue, wanted to fight back, wanted to throw one last, desperate punch in a battle he had already lost. But there was nothing left. No power. No leverage. Just a choice. Submit. Or be completely erased. His hands trembled slightly as he uncurled his fists. I could see the war raging inside him. The part of him that wanted to refuse, to cling to the last shreds of his dignity. But in the end, he knew. And so slowly, so fucking beautifully, he sank to his knees before me. His head lowered. His breath uneven. His entire body taut with humiliation, anger, submission. I stepped closer, lifting my heel, resting it gently beneath his chin, tilting his face up so he had no choice but to look at me. "Say it," I murmured. His throat bobbed. "Say you lost." Silence stretched between us. For a moment, I wondered if he'd refuse, if he'd take the last bit of control he had left and throw it in my face. But then, I lost. The words were barely more than a whisper. But they were enough. A slow, victorious smirk curled my lips. I pressed my foot just a little harder against his chin, savoring the way his jaw clenched, the way his fingers dug into his thighs. "Good boy." His breath hitched. I let the silence settle, let the moment linger. Then I stepped back, straightened my blazer, and walked toward the door. I didn't look back when I spoke. "You're done here, Nathan." And just like that, I left him there. On his knees. Ruined. Nothing. The aftermath. Nathan Cole disappeared. Quietly, subtly, just like I planned. He tried to fight. Tried to claw his way back up. But I had taken everything from him. I had burned every bridge, destroyed every connection, poisoned every chance he had at redemption. And the best part? I didn't have to ruin his reputation. Because I let him do that. Nathan spiraled. And when he fell, he did it in a way that ensured he would never rise again. Meanwhile, I climbed higher. Stronger. More powerful than ever before. I walked into every room with my head held high. My lips curved into that same, knowing smirk. Because I had won. And Nathan? Nathan would spend the rest of his life remembering that. Final twist. I married Alexander Cole. Of course I did. He was older, wealthier, more powerful than any man I had ever known. He put diamonds on my fingers, whispered promises in my ear, and handed me the kind of influence that Nathan dreamed of having. But that wasn't even the best part. The best part? The best part was the videos. The ones Nathan had recorded. The ones he had used to blackmail me. I kept them. Not to use against him. Not to ruin him further. But because I liked to watch them. Not for the shame. Not for the humiliation. But for the reminder. The reminder that no matter what game was played, I would always fucking win. The end.